Welcome to Embrace Yourself. I'm your host, Gio, and I'm glad to tell you guys this is my first podcast. And today we're going to talk about body image. And today I have a special guest here with me. Her name is Nicole. Welcome to the show.
Hello, thanks for having me.
Okay, so we're just going to get just started. So I'm glad that you're here. And my first question for you is, what comes to your mind when you hear the words body image?
Body image? Well, I think it's a really important, you know, thing in our time especially. I was interested to talk with you about this actually because my sister-in-law is a body image activist, and I think that my perception of body positivity has really been shaped a bit by that. So,
wow, that's great. Next question would be, have you experienced something like disliking your own self or the way you see yourself?
Well, I think it's almost impossible to be, I would say a woman, but a person even in this world, and to love every little thing about ourselves. So unfortunately, I think it's something that we all grow up with, but you know, to be healthy and positive in life, it's good to learn to love what you have, I think.
Well, the following up question would be, how do you feel about young girls disliking the way they look at themselves?
Well, you know, on one hand, I think it's a natural part of growing up, and your body changes, and, you know, going from girlhood to womanhood, there are many things that happen that you don't know how to handle. But it's a difficult, I guess, time to navigate. But I think the most important thing is just to try and stay positive and remember that, you know, it's better to love yourself.
Well, thank you. The last question with you, I would like to ask, what advice do you give young girls about body image?
I would encourage young girls to try and find a public figure that they can relate to on a positive level, because there's a lot of negativity, I think, out there. But if you can find someone that is, you know, somehow relatable to your sense of body or your own perception of your body, then that's a really good place to start instead of comparing yourself to what you don't have.
Wow, that's so great. Thanks again for having here with us. And that's
Thanks
it for today. Please stay tuned for my next podcast. Bye.
Hey, welcome to Self Love is the Best Love podcast. My name is Roxy, and for today's episode, we'll be focusing on mental and physical self-care to incorporate in your life. Also, if you stick around to the end, I have a special guest. All right, let's dive in and discuss some bad habits we might all relate to and changes to turn them into a healthy habit. The first one being sleeping in. Now, I know I do this a lot, and let me tell you, it's horrible because your mood is down, and then there's also the physical aspects where you get bags under your eyes and things like that. And so what I do is I set a curfew for myself, alarms, and just put down my phone before I go to bed. I usually like to have it around 9:20 p.m. and have all my things on do not disturb, and just a reminder to know that, like, it's time to go to bed, Roxy. You gotta get that beauty sleep. The next thing being is sitting majority of your time. Now, we do this a lot, whether it's for work or school or things like that, we usually sit. And so what I want you guys to realize is how much of your time you are actually sitting, and incorporating some hobbies or exercising in general to keep your body moving. The next one is stress eating or overeating. Now, I love junk food, and sometimes I get head over heels for like some chips or some chocolate, but to stop yourself from overeating and things like that, I want you to start by identifying what the problem is, why you're doing it in the first place, and what's the best coping mechanism that works for you. The next one that I'm gonna talk about is nail biting. And now I have had this problem before and it's awful. And when I was younger, I like would realize that it was either out of boredom or just general like tiredness, and it's just so strange, or like I'm nervous sometimes. And now I have these healthy long nails that I'm super proud of, and I've like treated myself when I've gotten them super long to go and get them done at a salon. And so I'm really proud of that. And if you've got that problem, remember to identify what the problem is, why you're doing it in the first place, and how to avoid that. Another bad habit is surrounding yourself with toxic people in your life. Now, you may be thinking now, but they're so much fun. They're like great people, other than the fact that they make me feel bad, you know, like not so great sometimes. And you just need to cut that toxic stuff out of your life, no matter who it is. And I just gotta tell you, once you do it, you're gonna feel so much better. Another bad habit would be being late, and that's horrible because not only are you wasting someone else's time, you're wasting your own. So once again, we've got our phones at our fingertips. Make sure you make an alarm if you know that you're that person that's always late. Set yourself, you know, to get there 15 minutes earlier. It's better to be early than later. And another thing is procrastination. Now, I feel like we've all dealt with this before. And what I like to do is I like making lists, because when you make a list, you're more likely to get things done, and it feels so much better when you're able to like check it off or cross it off and just be like, yeah, I did that, you know, and not saving it for the last minute. And the last one being is focusing on the negatives. Now, I know I do this a lot sometimes, and it's difficult in how like our media is, because you try and compare yourself to others, but remember that you're unique. There's only you in this world, so work on yourself and don't compare yourself to someone else. Don't make that competition. Now, hearing all this, you may be thinking, wow, like I didn't think I had so many bad habits, and trust me, girl, you do, but we can work on this together. We've got this. I believe in you. And you may be thinking you don't care at all, and that's okay as well. But I want you guys to know a little rule that I live by and how I incorporate it in my daily life. So I found this quote, and it goes like this. Find three hobbies you love. One to make you money, one to keep you in shape, and one to be creative. And I've thought about this, and the three things that I do is, the first one being for money, I've got paid internships on the side or just babysitting. The next one, keeping myself in shape, I choose to work out with friends sometimes, or just let alone play sports like basketball. And the last one, being creative, I love painting and drawing and just expressing art in some form. So that's something I've been doing recently. And now to switch it up, I want my guest to introduce herself. Our special guest.
Oh, hi, I'm Gio. I'm happy to be here.
So am I. Thank you for coming. And now for our special guest. Hello.
Hi.
Welcome. Please introduce yourself.
Hi, I'm Gio. Currently, I'm a high school student, and I'm happy to be here.
So am I. All right, so let's dive in the first question that I've got, which is, what do you think of when you hear the words self-care or self-love?
To be honest, I feel like it's something important that many people don't think about, like mm-hmm. for the taking care of themselves. And many people are like, oh, we're stress eating, like you mentioned, and they don't notice the bad habits.
Yeah, definitely. If you don't mind sharing anything you could have related to which I said, do you agree with how I mentioned some of the coping mechanisms, or do you have like any yours that you include in your daily life?
No, totally. I really agree with everything you said, because I feel like I could like relate to many of them, like biting my nails, because I used to do that a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that it's because of I'm always stressing, or like I'm really nervous.
Yeah, totally. Another question that I've got is, what comes to mind when you think of self-love and self-care? So, your own opinion on it, or like how you incorporate some things.
Personally, I don't really like take care of myself, because I always put like people that I care like first in me, and I believe like that's one of my bad habits.
Mm-hmm.
Like I don't take care of myself like emotionally, or like, oh, I have to do this first, then I'll do the rest. But yeah.
Well, I just want to remind you that like any time is the best time, especially right now. So remember, like, you're not alone, and there's like millions of resources out there for you to use and just include in your life. So I just recommend that like you take care of yourself. Any additional like final thoughts you want to add, like any habits maybe or tips that you have for the rest of the world?
I have to agree with the last thing, the quote that you mentioned at last, and I believe mm-hmm. like I am like practicing to do it with my sister. Like we just get like our own little time of like sister bonding. We want to work out, but it's like the food is like just coming back. And yeah, I believe like those are great tips, and I'm looking forward to improving them.
No, I love that you're like having someone else do that with you. I have an older sister myself, and like we've tried to get our schedules to come together and just like be doing something with someone else, because it may feel like you are alone, but I'm sure that there's someone out there that's like, I'll do this with you, you know, let's enjoy each other's company. Okay, so thank you so much for answering my questions and your time on my show.
Thank you for having me.
And that's what we've got for today. Stay tuned for more. And that'll be all. Remember to find a way to change for the better. Bye-bye.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the first episode of Get Mad With Me. I'm Nashi. And today we will be talking about the gender pay gap. Today I have a special guest with me. I'll have her introduce herself. And then we'll get straight into it.
Hi, I'm Joelle. How's it going?
Good. How are you? Thank you for being on the show.
Thanks for having me. It's going good. It's going
good.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Let's get straight into it. So, what do you know about the gender pay gap?
What I know is that I don't get paid enough. That's what I know.
What are your thoughts on it? A lot of people have different thoughts on the gender pay gap and how it affects everybody.
Personally, as someone who has worked in TV and film and has worked at like higher levels, so I started off as a production assistant in television and film, and at that point, I will say the TV and film industry is pretty good at everyone gets the same rate because you're doing a very specific job, and everyone knows that that job has that rate. So if you're an assistant, if you're on a TV shoot, the lowest you should be getting paid is $150. If you're on a commercial shoot, that's a day. If you're in a commercial shoot, the lowest you should be getting is like $250 a day, right? Now, that starts changing once you start climbing up.
Yeah, that's...
Once you start competing, when everyone's an assistant, they don't care what's in between your legs. They don't care gender. They just need their coffee. They just need you to run around. Need you to get that done.
Mm-hmm.
But once you start having power... Then all of a sudden, it's like, we can negotiate. Isn't that funny?
That's
so
very funny.
Yeah, that's very funny.
That's funny. Mm-hmm. Negotiating. Mm-hmm. Like, I've heard a lot of women in the workforce don't like to negotiate or don't like to ask for a pay raise. What do you think about that? I think it's Yeah. What do you think about that?
What do you think about that?
I'm mad. Like, why would you feel the need to feel embarrassed to ask for the money you deserve? Is my question. If you feel and if you see that your male counterpart or your male coworker is getting paid more than you for doing exactly the same thing you are, that I would be mad. I am mad, and I'm not even in the workforce yet. I would definitely take it up with my manager or my supervisor. This is not fair. It's, why is he getting paid more than I am? We're doing the exact same thing.
So, to be very honest, one thing I've learned is that it's about rearing. We rear men to expect to always ask for more options and to ask for better options. Women, unfortunately, we're not taught the same. We're taught to always be pleasant, to always not like rock the boat, because then you seem angry or irate or a bitch, you know. That's what, so women are just taught to be like, just be glad you're in the door, just be glad you got this over somebody else. And even though sometimes it's not explicitly, it's implicitly told to us or suggested to us, where guys are always, it's not even that they're explicitly taught this, sometimes they're just taught it through example, like seeing their dad or seeing like another man be like, hey, what's back there? And just curious enough and courageous enough to ask, where a woman is like, why am I even asking to ask what's going on back there? And so I've noticed that that's where it's really problematic.
I find that very interesting, because I did some research and I found that studies show that there's direct evidence to discrimination through gender. So they did a study in 2009 where more jobs went to women when the applicant's sex was left anonymous during the hiring process. Like, why does that matter? If you have the skill set and you know what you're doing, why does it matter what's in between your legs? Like, what do you think about that?
I mean, to be very honest, as someone who has an odd co-gender or non-binary name, I know it's worked in my favor. I remember being a young production assistant, and this was told to me later on, I was going in for an interview, and the executive producer said, who's our next runner-up, or like, who's coming in? And the person said, oh, Joelle Dusek. And he said Joelle, he assumed I was a man because my name is co-gender. And so he didn't even think I could be a woman because the name is not as familiar for a woman. And that's actually why, when he saw me and realized that I actually was on point, he was sort of felt satisfied, but it was because initially he thought I was some Jewish guy. Mm-hmm. And that was told to me later on. And it's so crazy to know that that is still happening, that if I was Nancy,
well,
I probably wouldn't have been as accepted right off the bat. Mm-hmm. Or he wouldn't have been maybe as interested or excited to know that there's or assume that it was a guy. So I think, speaking from that perspective, I hate that. I just hate that, like, okay, so what if my name was Nancy? You wouldn't have been as interested? That's just bizarre to me, because mm-hmm. it's like, you take my name out, my credit is still my credit. My credentials are still my credentials. So I just feel like this is literally over 100 years we've been fighting this, and it's like they still can't get it. Doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, I'm with you. And I find it interesting you say that, because I did more research, and you said you worked in production.
Yes.
So a study in 2009, again, what is up with 2009, found that the four largest gender wage gaps were in well-paying occupations, such as physicians and surgeons. Mm-hmm. Like, that makes me sad, because I want to be a doctor when I grow up. So I know I'm going to have to fight for that. Yep. Securities, commodities, and financial services sales agents. Mm. What is up with that? Like, why financial managers and other business operations specialists? This, like, I have all the percentages here, and all of them are 60 and lower. So they're making 60% of what a man does in the same field, which is crazy to me. That's mm-hmm. I don't think it's very fair that men are getting paid more for doing the same thing, if not less, than what a woman would do.
Right. And let's be very honest, women tend to do more when we show up to work, when we're actually doing any job, and then we're doing a job we actually really love. women show up. I mean, that's also been proven, where once a woman takes over a company as a CEO or any type of president, the company does at minimum 35% more, like, better than they were doing before when the man was running it. Because women just always, we give 110, or we're way more, in my opinion, more attuned, more specific, you know. Mm-hmm. We don't, you know, even when you probably watch your grandmother clean, it's not like she's just like, oh, wipe it down and done. It's like she's scrubbing. She's getting the nooks and the crannies out. Mm-hmm. And not to say men don't, but I just don't think it's quite in the biological or maybe the cultural aspect where we see. And also they proved with that study that because women tend to think more communally, where men tend to think more individualistically, or their gang, you know, mm-hmm. where women are thinking the larger, like if they're a CEO or their VP or their president, they're thinking the better good for everyone, and yeah. then the people after them, and then those people after them.
Yeah, it's making me mad because you said something and it brought me back to how, like, we're portrayed in media. Mm-hmm. You were talking about how women, if they do become CEOs or presidents, it's very unusual, it's uncommon because of how we're portrayed in the media and because of how little girls see themselves in TVs and advertisements, and how we're giving toys at a young age to play in the kitchen while boys are given hammers and given the ability and the chance to express their creativeness. What do you think of that? I'm very mad.
No, there's a great, Women's Month put out a great commercial, I should say, that came out around Women's Month this past March, and it was one of my favorite groups, Queen, We're Not Gonna Take It. Like, so they brought out that song, and they put girls who, they were all in pink and purple, but you couldn't quite figure out what they were doing, and then sure enough, you see them coming together, and they're making a rocket ship. And it's like to take away that stereotype of like, oh, we can only play with dolls. Like, no, we can't. We're inventors. We are creators. You know, even the films with, like, the one that just came out with, like, Taraji P. Henson, where there was all these black women that put men on the moon, and no one talked about that until these poor women were, like, what, 84 years old? Like, people forgot that it was a female woman of color mathematician that figured out how to actually get a spacecraft to the moon. Her equation was what... And so we need to not be promoting dolls and kitchenettes and all this, or strollers. I mean, granted, I used to love pushing strollers when I was a kid. I'm not gonna lie, because women are taught responsibility very early, where boys are taught creativity very early. And what's so unfortunate is that we don't look at how women are always being creative, even within heavy responsibility.
Yeah, Yeah, I totally agree with you. How about maternity leave?
Oh, I don't.
Speaking of responsibility,
maternity leave is a really hot topic for me. I'm older. So many of my friends have had children or having children, and it's wild to see how they have to negotiate staying with the child they just made, or going to work. Like, this is like a life or death situation and a decision. Like, are we gonna live on pennies in order to just rear a child at least till they're two, until we feel comfortable putting them in some sort of like daycare that we can really afford? Or nope, they're gonna just have to, you know, thug it out with all the other kids at, you know, 4 months in a daycare. And it's wild. It's really wild to experience a lot of the injustice in maternity leave, and knowing that there's other countries that we don't give enough credit to, whether it's Canada or Tunisia, that take better care of their women than mm-hmm. the United States of America.
That's a fact. I cannot agree with you more. My aunt had a baby recently, and she had to put him in a daycare at 2 months because her job wouldn't pay her maternity leave, and I just don't understand why people do that. Like, give a mom some time to be with their newly born child I just think it's crazy.
It's crazy. And as a TV producer who's now becoming a psychotherapist, there literally is science that shows the caretaker needs to have attachment with the child minimum 6 months up to 2 years. And so when you are utilizing laws that break that attachment is why you have very different psychological potential traumas later in life. And this is just fact. It's not a hypothesis. It's not a philosophy questioning. It's just what it is. And it's unfortunate that our lawmakers and policy holders are not catching up to the betterment of mankind through the basis of science and research. So,
yeah, this is crazy. Any final thoughts?
No, I'm just glad I was able to sit and talk with you. Now you got me a little mad.
I'm not as mad as I thought I would be, honestly, talking about it, but I'm still mad. Like, this is not okay.
It's okay to be mad.
It's very okay to be mad. I don't care if men call me crazy. It's okay to be mad. Well, thank you for being on the show. Stay tuned for my second episode. We will be talking about more things that will anger me, possibly other people. Yeah. Bye.